In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible reading we just had was a very succinct one that tells us with a minimum of detail, really, how Jesus called Peter and also Andrew and James and John to follow him. But there's actually quite a lot more detail than that. And so that thing we had shown to us, the video clip before, gave us a bit of information about Peter. It said that Andrew and Peter had been connected with John the Baptist. And John had already kind of commented, Jesus is the one. And we're told that Peter and Andrew spoke to Jesus. So there's the first thing. And then if we were to look up and see what it had to say about all of this in the Gospel of Luke, then we would read there that one day Jesus had been preaching in the synagogue, and after the synagogue service, Peter invited Jesus to go into his home, and there Peter's mother-in-law was sick. She had a fever, and Jesus healed her. And then we're told it was sometime later that Jesus was at the Sea of Galilee, and where all of them, Peter and Andrew and James and John, were with their boats. And not at all surprisingly, with all the healing miracles that Jesus had been doing, a crowd came and they wanted to see, I imagine, some miracles. And so what we're told is that Jesus got into a boat so he could be seen. And whose boat? Well, he'd only just, a short time before, he had healed Jesus' mother-in-law. So not a great surprise, I think. He got into Peter's boat. Peter is not going to say no to him. He healed his mother-in-law. And so this also means that Jesus teaches for some time. It means that Peter heard all of this teaching. So by the end of all of this, actually Peter knows a lot about Jesus. And so when Jesus then says, go out, take your boat out, we're going to catch some fish. Now, if that had been the first encounter Peter had had with Jesus, he might have said, stuff you. I've worked all night and caught nothing. But what had happened? Well, Jesus had healed his mother-in-law. And he'd been listening to all this teaching. And he knew John the Baptist had said, this is the one. And here he's saying, put out into the deep. So he doesn't figure he can say no to Jesus. So he does a little protest. You know, I've toiled all night, you know, and caught nothing. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, well, in that case, don't bother. Jesus didn't say that. And so, very reluctantly, out Peter goes, sure that this is a total waste of time. And he lets down his nets when they get out there and catch this huge, huge shoal of fish. So big that the nets start to break, and so they signal to their partners, come over and help us here. We've got a huge shoal. So the partners come over, and the boats are filled so full of fish that they almost sink. They start to sink. And Peter now, he's actually seen a lot of Jesus, hasn't he? He's not just seen the miracles where Jesus healed someone else, one of whom was his mother-in-law. How on earth could Jesus have known that these fish would be there, and just coincidentally, the kind of miracle this was, Peter was a professional fisherman. He was a successful fisherman, or he would not have owned his own boat. He would have been working for someone else. And Jesus knows more about fishing than he does. And then in the reading that we had, Peter tops this off by saying, come and follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for people. And when we have all of these details, I think we can understand how it is that Peter responds so promptly, because it appears to be incredibly promptly to Jesus' call. And I'm trying to say it wasn't prompt. It was a slow process. I want to say God never appears to anyone just in a total vacuum and asks them to do something for which he has not prepared them. And I think it was last Sunday that Paul Tipping told us how Jesus prepared his disciples for the hard times that were going to come their way after he had gone. Well, Jesus always prepares us for anything he wants us to do, which means that we can do it, you see. We've been prepared. If we've got him with us, we can do it. We're prepared. And so Jesus, as we know, then had healed Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus had heard, Peter had heard Jesus teach the people, so he knew what Jesus was on about. And Jesus had guided him to this impossibly large catch of fish. So Peter was very sure that Jesus was kind, and Jesus was good, and Jesus knew what he was doing. So he was ready to say yes to Jesus when Jesus called Peter to follow him. But I want to suggest to you, you know, that if Peter had been someone who thought that fishing was actually the very best thing in the world that a person could do, quite the most interesting and enjoyable thing, if he was very happy with his life just as it was, he would probably not have said yes to Jesus. And you might think I am mistaken here, but I actually think that Peter was a very talented and capable person who was actually probably feeling a bit discontented with his lot as a fisherman, thinking, is this really what life is all about? Catching and selling fish. That's life. Is that my lot for the rest of my life? Catching and selling fish. And if we take on board then he was dissatisfied, he wanted something more, then suddenly now you see what Jesus says to him is fulfilling a really deep need that Peter was wanting. He wants to do something more than catch fish. And Jesus says, come and follow me and I will teach you how to fish for people. Well, that sounds a bit interesting, sounds a bit significant. Going to make a difference to the world. So Jesus is really saying to Peter, if you follow me, your life will have meaning and purpose. It will be a life that achieves real good, makes a difference to people. So here, I think what we see is that Peter says a very firm yes, both to Jesus as the most amazing person who deserves that people should do what he says, since he understands and cares about us. But he also says a yes because Jesus says he's going to lead Peter into a life that is interesting and full of significance, going to catch people for God. And I think what we might see about Peter from all of this is that Peter is a person who weighed things up. He did not rush into making decisions. And also that Peter was someone who had really good judgment. What's the best thing to do in this situation? And Peter was a person who had the courage to act when he saw the time had come. A bit decisive and with courage. And so after Jesus issued this, come and follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for people. Well, Peter weighed that up, and he decided the time to do this was now, and he acted. He left his fishing business and followed Jesus. So I want to say for you and for me now, who may not be fishermen, I'm not, I think there is time when Jesus calls us to do something we have not done before. And like Peter, it may be that this call takes us away from what we are familiar with. It may even be something in which we've had a certain level of success. Peter was a successful fisherman. And what it means is if we're successful at something and we stick with it, our lives are not failures. Everybody will see that we are modestly successful in our lives. Nobody is going to think we're failures. However, when we don't respond to the call of Jesus, when we kind of say a no to Jesus, we will miss the purpose for which he created us, or for which God created us. And we will have said a no to the Jesus who loved us so much that he died on the cross so we could be forgiven every wrong thing we've ever done, but also so that actually we can become children of God, entering into something of the same amazing relationship with God that Jesus himself had. And I figure that this is a bit like saying we'd rather play with toys than do something real. How can we say a no to God and expect that God will still make our lives full of good things? And when we say a no to God, it's not that God is some kind of petty being who throws a wobbly or a tantrum or something. It is that God actually knows what is the best way to achieve the good thing. The best way not only to bless us, but to enable us to bless others. And when we follow Jesus, when we do as he says, we're not on our own. He puts his spirit inside us so that he's always there, and he enables us to bring life and joy to others. And in the process of bringing joy to others, brings lots of richness and fullness, meaning into our own lives. So I'm wanting to say it really, really, really matters hugely in our best interests that we say yes to Jesus when he calls us to do anything, when he calls us to follow him. And I guess that's the heart of what discipleship is. And when I was somewhere about 24, I went to my bishop and said I would like to be a vicar. And he said, well, before I ordain anybody, you have to go to theological college for a few years. But before I do that, then I have a committee that kind of checks people out. And so you will need to be seen by these four people. So there I had to be interviewed by these four people to see if I was fit to be ordained. And at that time, I had almost finished my training as a doctor. I was due to graduate in just a few months' time at the end of the year. And all four of the people who interviewed me said I was an excellent candidate, but that after I graduated, they thought I should go on and spend a couple of years, the house surgeon years, working in a hospital, which meant I would be registered as a doctor, you see, which then meant that I could go back to medicine if ever I decided later on it had been a mistake. I said some fairly rude things to the bishop about these people, but then I said a more reasonable thing to him. I said, you know, being a doctor is a full-time occupation, and that if I left medicine and then decided it had been a mistake and went back, I would certainly have to do training. I couldn't just walk straight back. And so he agreed that this was a reasonable thing to say. If I decided it was a mistake and had to go back or wanted to go back, I would always have to do that training. So what a waste of time. Just get on and go with it now. So he agreed. He had me trained to be a vicar. But for me, then the issue at that time was God wanted me to be a vicar, and the time was actually now. And for me to do anything that felt like it was some kind of no to what Jesus was asking me to do now, it just didn't feel right. And I think that if, like Peter, we have come to know Jesus as the person who has not only the power and the words of God, but is overwhelmingly good, and he knows us through and through, how could we say no to a person like that? So there's the challenge I see in our Bible readings, that when we hear Jesus ask us to do something, Jesus really knows us. And he not only has in mind how best to grow his kingdom. So we're not just some cogs in some big machine, but he also actually knows what is best for us as well, and those two things working together. So may God inspire and motivate each of us to say yes to Jesus when he calls us. And that way we will please God, and that way we will be a blessing to others. And in that way also we will know God's blessing in our lives. So may it be that way for each of us. Amen. So we're going to have a song.